Good morning, everybody. Let me call to order the Police, Judicial, and Legal Committee of Mount Pleasant Town Council for our July 1st meeting. And the first item on our published agenda is approval of the minutes from the June 3rd meeting. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Is there any discussion? All in favor of approving the minutes, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes are approved. Second is public comments. If you would like to make a comment, please go to the lectern, give us your name and address, and 2 minutes, please. Any public comments? Yes, ma'am.
Good morning. Barbara Zia, 231 South Plaza Court, and I'm here for the League of Women Voters. The League has not yet taken a position in regard to possible changes to the town's governance structure. However, we applaud Council's willingness to explore changes in pursuit of identifying the best governance practices for Mount Pleasant. The League was founded by activists who secured voting rights for women, protecting and enhancing voting rights for all, assuring opportunities for citizen participation, working for open, accountable, representative, and responsive government, all reflect the deeply held convictions of the League. In light of these values, we believe that there are legitimate questions as to the adequacy and effectiveness of the town's current governance structure, at-large voting districts, and a weak mayor form of mayor-council government. We understand the town council has 2 referenda under consideration for the 2019 ballot. One would ask voters to consider a strong mayor form of government. The other would ask voters to consider single-member district representation. The League offers to assist and support voter education as it relates to these proposals. We'd be proud to sponsor informational opportunities, such as community forums, to look at the merits of options before the voters and to help assure a large turnout of informed voters on November the 5th. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Name, address, and 2 minutes, please.
Good morning. My name is Bob O'Neill. I live at 155 Wingo Way. And several years ago, I was asked to be the chair of the National Civic League's advisory group to create the model city charter, model county charters for the United States. You may recognize the National Civic League. They're the sponsors for the All-America City, of which Mount Pleasant has won 2 times. And so I would offer just a considerable amount of research that the National Civic League did in the preparations of both the model city charters. There's lots of analysis that was part of that, and I'd be happy to help in any way I can in terms of your review of the various options available to Mount Pleasant. I'm sure the National Civic League would be available as well. So I'm happy to answer any questions as Scott and his colleagues make the presentation. I've spent a lot of time on the various forms themselves. So I just wanted to let you know that I'd be available, and so would the National Civic League. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Public comments. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Name, address, 2 minutes, please.
Council members, my name is Josh Dix. I'm the Government Affairs Director for the Charleston Trident Association of Realtors. We're excited that the opportunity to have a discussion about the governance model has come before council. As we've discussed in the previous council meeting about bringing it the government structure in line with the neighboring municipalities, we feel that a strong mayor could be an issue that we talk about, but also in tandem have that conversation about single-member districts. We feel that it would best reflect what is going on in the region and would give our stronger voice in to all of our homeowners and buyers in this community. So as we move forward with this proceeding, we'd really appreciate the opportunity to discuss single-member districts, a potential hybrid model, if that's something that council would be interested in discussing. And I'd like to thank the council members who brought up the effort that took place in 2017 during the last council hearing about single-member districts. So thank you for your time, and I look forward to hearing y'all's discussion today.
Thank you, Josh. Yes, sir. Mr. Wright.
Mr. Mayor and committee persons and council members, staff, John Wright. I live at 145 Rose Lane, single member district. 2017, I ran on that issue. 2016, I took part in a petition drive that collected over 8,000 signatures. And ultimately, what we wanted then and what seemed to be misconveyed was to give the voters the right to decide. It wasn't about no individual groups, whatever the case was, and it came out that way in some form or fashion. But ultimately, what we wanted was the voters to have the right to decide. I was born and raised here. I left here in 84, came back home 29 years later, and we were not the little small town, that little fishing hole. We were becoming a city. And I realized that. And it wasn't that it was a matter of where the representation came from, what it looked like, whether it was black, whether it was white, or whatever the case was. We were going to hold our elected officials accountable. It didn't matter who they were. But what we ultimately realized is, and my deep concern in 2013 when I came home, was that 10% voter turnout. We were turning out 10% in 2013 when I came home. 2015, we turned out about 11%. And we were a town of 83,000 or better. That was just not enough representation. And ultimately, what I realized in 2016, while collecting signatures, that 90% of the people I spoke with that were from somewhere else thought we were already single-member districts, because that's where they came from. They came from areas that were single-member districts. So I appreciate this opportunity again. 2 years later, we're back at this conversation. I think it's good. I said in 2017 that it would come up again, and here we are, and I think it's great that we're having it. What happens going forward, I think, is certainly going to be on council, mayor, you and the council, as how we decide this. And I think appropriately it should be. So I'm hoping that 2019 we have that 20, whichever election, we have that question on the ballot to give the voters the right to decide.
All right. Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Anybody else before we move on? All right. That concludes public comments. Item number 3 is police matters. Chief Ritchie.
Good morning, Mayor, members of the committee. Good to be back.
Good to have you back.
Good to be back here. I have the honor this morning of recognizing two of our great employees. I'm going to start with Detective Vance Stevenson. Vance, if you'll come up for me, please, sir. So I had the privilege of recognizing Detective Vance Stevenson for 10 years of service with the town. Detective Stevenson began his career with Mount Pleasant Police Department July 20th, 2009. He distinguished himself as a hardworking, proactive patrol officer, always taking a proactive approach to his patrols. His passion has always been investigations, and this is something he exhibited even while as a patrol officer, investigating the cases he initiated as far as he could, often solving them at his level. When the opportunity became available, Detective Stevenson interviewed and was assigned to the Investigative Bureau. He was assigned many difficult cases that he investigated thoroughly and with a high clearance rate. Detective Stevenson is currently assigned to our FBI's Violent Crime Task Force, working closely with our federal, state, and other local partners to help solve and reduce violent crime occurring in and around Mount Pleasant. Very important to recognize that our violent crime rate is low in this town, but we recognize there are issues that are going on around us. With this partnership with our federal, state partners, we can stop it, and we can assist them with reducing their crime and keeping it from coming over here. He's doing an excellent job in his current assignment and is just a great representative for the town while working with these agencies. So I want to congratulate Vance for his 10 years of service. Thanks, Vance.
Thank you.
All right, Sergeant Baldwin. It's always nice to have more than one to recognize. That's part of the job. All right. Well, again, I have the privilege again of recognizing one of our own, Sergeant Carter Baldwin. This is for 20 years of service with the town. As you know, 20 years anywhere is a huge, huge accomplishment. Sergeant Baldwin began his career with Mount Pleasant PD July 26, 1999, working his way up through the ranks to his current grade as sergeant. Sergeant Baldwin has worked numerous bureaus, but most notably was his time as a training sergeant. He was responsible for the coordinating of all the new hire training and evaluation, as well as our annual training required by all of our officers to maintain their certifications. He also assisted our officers in achieving their career paths, training, and their incentives, which is always important. You want to get these folks paid so when they would identify what they wanted to do long-term in their career, Sergeant Baldwin was key in making sure that happened. He's a longtime member of our SWAT team and has been on many high-risk situations where his leadership was key in resolving the incident in a positive manner. He's currently assigned back to field operations, supervising patrol team, providing direction and guidance to his team to ensure our citizens are served at the high level that is expected. During his 20 years, Sergeant Baldwin has received countless numbers of thank you letters and comments from the public. Sergeant Baldwin, thank you so much as a chief for your 20 years of great service. Thank you, sir. And thank you. Have a good 50th year. Just so you know, we weren't ignoring Detective Stevenson, but the nature of his assignment sometimes requires some little clandestine work. So,
Thank you, Sergeant Baldwin. We appreciate it. And good to have you back, Chief. Glad you came back.
I did.
Good.
Thank you.
Item number four is judicial matters. We did not have any agenda items for that. Item number five is a continuing discussion of forms of government and election method of council members. And Eric, I'll turn this over to you. I think you brought in the Municipal Association to give us an overview of this, and it should be very informative. Thank you.
That's correct, sir. Thank you, Mayor. Members of the committee, good morning. We do have with us Scott Slatton. Scott, if you'll come forward. He's a legislative and public policy advocate for the Municipal Association of South Carolina, and he has a presentation for us. Scott.
Thank you, Eric. Good morning, Mayor, Council members. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. Eric asked me to keep this brief, so I will condense what is typically a 45-minute presentation into a 5 to 10 for your benefit. So I'm going to skip through some slides here real quickly. All three forms of government in municipal government in South Carolina were codified through the Local Government Act in 1975. That was the Home Rule Act. Prior to that, cities and towns across the state operated with a variety of different forms of government. And so when the Home Rule Act was passed, cities were asked to choose and decide upon the one of the three that was closest to what they had at the time. So the forms of government that you see in place in cities and towns across South Carolina today were the closest one that they had 45 years ago or so. A couple things that we need to keep in mind when we talk about all three forms of municipal government in South Carolina. There are two areas of responsibility. One is policy making. That responsibility always falls to and rests with the city council or the municipal council, town council, in all three forms of government. And then what distinguishes the three forms is who executes those policies on behalf of the city council. So that is where you find the distinctions, and primarily it is in who is the chief executive officer in the three forms. I just said this, the legislative function always remains with the council. Real quickly, some information. There are 271 cities and towns in South Carolina. Most are very small. The three forms you'll see here are mayor council, which is called the strong mayor form often, and we'll talk about why that is in just a minute. 145 of the 271 cities and towns across the state use the mayor council form of government. You can see 92 of that 145 are under 1,000 in population. Only three are over 25,000 in population, and two of those are right here, North Charleston and Charleston. The council form of government, which is what you operate under now, there are 30 of those under 1,000 in population, three over 25,000. And then the council manager form of government is used by 32 cities and towns. 10 of the 16 cities with a population over 25,000 in South Carolina, 10 of those use the council manager form of government. And please stop me, interrupt me if you have questions as we go along, okay?
Thank you.
Let's talk about the mayor council form, often called the strong mayor form, because the state law gives the mayor in the mayor council form not only chief executive authority but also legislative power. He or she is a voting member of council in addition to executing the policies that he or she formulate as a part of the the council body. Council always serves as the legislative body, determines policies for the city, appoints the city attorney, the judge, and the municipal clerk, and approves the annual budget. It doesn't have to accept the budget that is presented by the mayor. The mayor is designated as the presiding officer under the mayor-council form of government, so the council cannot take the gavel away from him or her. The mayor is responsible for preparing and administering the annual budget. The mayor is responsible for presenting a budget to the council, and the council can decide what it would like to do with that, modify it, accept it, reject it, adopt its own. But at the very least, the mayor is responsible for preparing and presenting a budget to the council. Once that budget is adopted, then it's the mayor's responsibility as the chief executive officer to administer that budget. The mayor in the mayor council form oversees all city departments and day-to-day operations and is responsible for all hiring and firing decisions except for the three employees that I just mentioned, the attorney, the clerk, and the judge. Mayor presides, votes as a member of council, reports to council, and ensures the faithful execution of state laws and city ordinances. Any questions about the mayor-council form of government, strong mayor? Council form is what you have now. It's the second most used form, sometimes called the weak mayor because the mayor has no more or less authority than any other member of council, except that authority that the council provides to him or her. And there's no separation between the executive and legislative functions. As you well know, you as the council are responsible for the adoption of policy and then overseeing the execution of that policy through your city administrator and your staff. It's often called governance by committee because of the structural egalitarianism that's within the form. Council is responsible for everything, including the hiring and firing of the city clerk, attorney, judge, and all employees. The council may hire an administrator whose duties are defined in ordinance by the council. If the council does not like the way the administrator is executing those policies or would prefer to provide those authorities to someone else, then it can do so by a modification of the ordinance. So the council has responsibility for all functions, including those of the administrator and other employees in the city. The mayor in the council form is typically presides over the meetings, but that authority is provided to him or her by the council. They can take the gavel away from the mayor if they choose to do so. And often the mayor acts as the informal authority, the informal leader of the council and the city. Any questions about the council form? Council manager form of government. I know you're not necessarily considering this one, but for the opportunity to learn a little bit about the council manager form, it's used by 32 of the cities and towns across the state. Mayor and council members are forbidden by state law from interfering in the operations of the departments and directing employees under the purview of the manager. The city council hires and fires only the manager and the municipal judge and the municipal attorney. The council is the legislative body, hires and fires the city manager. The mayor, again, in this form, has no authority beyond that of another council member. Again, exercises informal authority as the leader of council. The city manager is provided the authority in state law to hire and fire all employees of the city, to prepare and submit a budget to the city council. Again, just like with the strong mayor, the city council can do with that budget what it sees fit. The city manager is empowered to appoint, remove, and fix the salary of all employees within the confines of the budget, same as the mayor in the strong mayor form. And for whatever reason, this is the only of the three where the manager, not the council, appoints the clerk. Don't ask me why. The, The city manager is also empowered by state law. Again, these are things that a council cannot take away from the manager, preparing financial reports and advising the council to appointments on boards. If the council or the city residents would like to start an effort to change a form of government, the council itself can vote on an ordinance to set a date and put a question to residents on choosing one of the forms of government. If the council does not do that, then a petition of 15% of the municipality's qualified electors, voters, they can submit that petition to the city council, and then the council has to pass an ordinance setting a date for a referendum. If a majority of the people who come out and vote at that particular election determine whether or not the form of government changes or does not. No matter whether the vote is successful or if it fails, another referendum to change the form of government can't occur for another 4 years. That way we're not ping-ponging back and forth between multiple forms of government over a short period of time. One thing I'll mention here, when we're working with cities or towns across the state who are considering a change in their form of government, what we have advised them to do as a part of the question on the ballot or as a part of the ordinance that they pass setting up the referendum is to set a date certain for when the change could take place. Because depending on, anytime you change from one form to another, there are a number of logistical and operational issues that have to be taken into consideration, ordinances that will have to be amended to reflect the new form of government, and so that can take some time. We typically advise you look out no more than a year from the date of the election, but somewhere between 6 months and a year to give you the amount of time that you need to make those changes before the change becomes effective. And I think there's been some discussion about when you might do that if you end up putting it on the ballot. For more information, go to our website, masc.sc. There is a great pamphlet right here, The Forms and Powers of Municipal Government, that gives a great side-by-side comparison and more details on how the three forms work. And you'll just go to our website and type in forms of government as your keyword. Questions?
Do you have anything on districts, on council districts?
No, I believe the your town attorney is going to speak to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let me ask you from your standpoint, is there a municipality and what size, if there is one, that has gone from at large, where we are all at large as council members, to districts, and what did that process look like?
I don't know, Mayor. I can't answer that question off the top of my head. We'd have to do some research, and we would probably not be the group to speak to that. I would point you towards the Revenue and Fiscal Affairs Office in the Department of Administration. Will Roberts, in fact, Will has spoken in front of this committee or another here in Mount Pleasant in the last couple of years about your conversion, and he would be the expert and the authority to help you move from single from your at-large to single member.
One of the things that would be interesting to have as Mount Pleasant looks at this is, are there cities and what size are there that have the council form of government and districts? The ones I'm familiar with have the mayor council form and have districts. I'm not clear of one. Maybe Columbia?
No, Columbia's a council manager form, and they are they're a mix. They're single member and at large.
Okay.
Greer, Malden are both council form, and I believe they have some single member and at large seats.
Okay.
But we can get you the representation style. In fact, that's available on our website now.
Okay.
That you can find a listing of cities by council, by form of government, and then compare their
council
representation, their representation method as well.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank
Thanks
you.
Thanks a lot. Yes, sir.
Here? I just had a question, sir.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
What was your name again?
Scott Slatton.
Scott, yep. You're quoted in an article here in the Post and Courier. They talked about the municipalities in the state of South Carolina with the various types of government.
Sure.
And you're quoted here saying, 10 of the largest towns and cities in the state of South Carolina are the council manager form of government or strong council form of government. There's only two of them that are actually mayor council, and that's North Charleston and Charleston. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
So eight of the largest are our form of government, basically, that we have right now.
Yes, I believe that's correct.
Okay.
We've got a list, and I could refer to the list.
I'm just quoting off the paper
from
David Slade. In fact, Isle of Palms used to have a strong mayor, weak council system, but after Hurricane Hugo, they went to a strong council, weak mayor system. Yep. So they changed over.
I'll mention there's been a number of efforts over the years by cities of all sizes, including Columbia, to change their form of government, and the trend has been for those cities to consider going from a strong mayor to a council form. Now, and some of those have been successful and others have not. So, and let me say this. All three forms of government, municipal government in South Carolina, work just fine. Okay? It's a matter of what you prefer, Dodge, Chevy, or Ford. Okay? Same thing. It's the folks who occupy those three forms of government and their understanding of their roles and responsibilities and staying within their lanes of responsibility that makes the difference in if whether or not they're successful. So all three forms work. It's just a matter of what form your residents prefer.
Right. I understand there's some additional information saying two-thirds of Moody's AAA bond-rated communities operate under a council manager form of government. Council manager cities, according to the IBM report, smarter, faster, and cheaper, are nearly 10% more efficient than cities with strong mayor forms of government. The majority of all American City Award recipients for the past 5 years have been council management type of government. And last but not least, the editorial that came out from the Post and Courier also supports the council manager or council mayor, a strong council system, by saying the current system encourages people to run for the right reasons, and they talk about money and things like that. But certainly all the information that I've been able to pull up through, whether it's the newspaper or blogs, strongly suggests that our form of government that we have right now is the proper form of government. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Great. Thanks.
Anybody?
Next.
Mr. Pagliarini.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for that presentation. The form of government, of course, is what was just discussed. The next set of slides, I did put a few slides in here about changing form of government. I think that was well covered. I did include the ballot language, their specified ballot language. And I did speak with Joe Debney with the county, and the deadline to provide the ballot language, in his opinion, is August 15th. So just so committee is aware of that, he has not had that date approved by his legal counsel, so he asked me to let you know that that was not yet certain but likely. The next question is method of election, and as you can see on this slide, method of election relates to how council members are elected. In any form, the mayor would be elected on an at-large basis, but as you can see, there are five choices. Members of the council elected from the municipality at large. That is item number one. That is our current system. Item number two is one member elected from each ward of the municipality by the qualified electors of that ward. And there is a residency requirement in that system. And of course, that would mean eight wards in the town of Mount Pleasant if you were to follow that item number two. Item number three, some members elected from wards as provided for number two, and the remainder from municipalities. So you could have six wards, two general or at large, or any number that council wishes. Item number four, members required to be residents of wards, but be elected from the municipality at large. So again, the residency requirement for the wards. However, in this circumstance, individual voters from that ward are not solely voting for their representative, but that is a municipality at large vote for every ward. And number five, to further complicate the matter, some members may be required to be residents of particular wards and others at large without regard to particular ward, and all members elected from the municipality. So that is a significant mixture there. And again, the statement below item number five, regardless of the form adopted by the municipality, the mayor shall be elected at large. The next slide, any questions on that? Okay. The next slide is procedure. This is fairly similar to what was just covered. Again, action by a majority of council or 15% of the registered municipal electors. And the second highlighted portion right in the middle there, the governing body shall call a referendum not later than 90 days. And again, per Mr. Debney, the same August 15th deadline would apply. The significant difference in ballot language is that for the change in form of government, that ballot language is precisely stated in ordinance. In this circumstance, of course, that ballot language would depend on what method is selected, either by council or ultimately if there was a 15% of the municipal electors presented those signatures. And in this circumstance, there may be only one question framed by the municipal governing body for the referendum. So what that means is that council can't give the voters a choice. Do you want item 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5? Which one do you want in which order? Council would have to make a decision on which element, and the vote would be specifically on that method of election. And then finally, the ward lines. This would not take place until after any referendum, but as was mentioned, we would have to work with the state essentially to prepare ward lines. And as you're all aware, this is a national hot button issue, the United States Supreme Court and in districts and how those districts are drawn. That would be largely done over the next 2 years, because do be aware that in this circumstance, this would not lines, districts would not take place until the next election, which if there were something on the ballot in November, it wouldn't actually take effect until 2 years. And during those 2 years, we would have to work on ward lines, distribution, as well as potential changes in our ordinances. So that's it in brief. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer.
Council?
You know, I'll say like I've said last time, you know, it kind of reminds me of a piece of pizza. The way we have our government situated now, you can get up, you can eat the whole pizza if you want. But if you go to single-member districts, you get a slice. And if other council members don't agree with the person that represents your area, you're not going to get a whole lot. And you can look at some of these municipalities, Charleston or North Charleston, and see the communities that really seem to have flourished over the last couple of years or 10 years or whatever, and some that haven't. So I like the fact of being able to vote for all of my representatives that represent the whole town, not the north and south, because I don't believe in the north and south. It makes it sound like there's a line drawn between us, but I would call it upper and lower Mount Pleasant. In fact, right now, I think we got five or six of our representatives that are in the upper part of Mount, live in the upper part of Mount Pleasant. So I think it balances itself out and is good representation all over. So I'm just really satisfied with the type of government we have right now.
Yeah, Joe? Is it likely that if the town were to go to districts that that could be tied up in a court challenge for years? So you would have the situation where, let's say, by whatever means you had a referendum and the public wanted to go to districts. But what happens if those districts are tied up in court past the date at which the referendum said they would go into effect? I know that's a highly hypothetical question, but having just gone through and been to a lot of the meetings about the school district rezoning, you talk about some emotions and a really hard job when you start looking at dividing one side of the streets in one district and one's on the other. And that will happen, and this was for one district, for a school. I can't imagine slicing that pie eight ways. So I would anticipate there would probably be some court challenges. So I don't know, you know, what do you do?
Yes, sir. It is an oft-litigated issue, as you suggest. I would assume what would happen there is that the matter would be stayed until it could be resolved. So theoretically, you'd have a referendum in November with the result. If approved, it would start at the following 2 years from now, which would be 2021, and any court challenge that would delay that, I simply think that we'd have to continue on our current system until that was resolved.
Okay. How did Mount Pleasant come up with eight council seats?
Do not know how it came up like that. I think that's just one that's what was selected when the government choice was made.
It was
long
eight.
Ago.
Yes, and is there a law or whatever that leaves it at eight?
Well, our ordinances provide that, but okay. I think there can be a different number if council so wishes.
Okay. Just curious as to how we got to eight. And I think we had eight, Gary, when you first got elected. So we've had eight for a long time.
Long time, yeah.
I don't know that it was ever any different, at least in modern era.
Right. Yeah, I can't think of a time when there weren't eight. Any other questions? I for one, I don't see any ballot initiatives being put on by council for either question for this November. I think it might be something we can do and think about later if the need comes up, if we decide the will of council is to do that. But I don't see that happening this year unless the committee members have some other motion or anything that anybody wants to make. One of the things I think you told us in the last meeting was that any ballot, our office positions for council and mayor are tied to the off-year municipal elections, 15, 17, right. 19, 21, but referenda can be done in any election or even a special election.
Yes, sir.
So that can be done at any time. So there's no reason, I'm speaking personally, to rush anything and try to get anything done this year. I'm speaking personally to rush anything and try to get anything done this year.